The mode of action is the same because man's mind is a reflection of the infinite mind. And this cannot be otherwise, for the simple reason that man cannot exist outside the infinite mind. Developing our faith that produces works, we must in the first place recognize this unity, which is a cosmic fact. The Father and I are one. In this realization, the power of thought becomes active in the individual thinker. And to this unity, we must ascribe all power and glory and acknowledge it as the source of all that we accomplish. If we do not do that, you will see that you then acknowledge something much less. Examine yourself to see what you think about yourself. And when you look into your own mind, you will see how small and how little you think about yourself. Then you are limited by that attitude of mind you hold about yourself. If you ascribe all glory, all power, all achievement to that which is real in itself and is the power of the universe is manifesting itself through you, then there is an attitude of mind that takes you forward continuously and there rests your faith. And this also can there only be effective concentration of the idea to be developed. For if you are double-minded, you see good and evil, and those two battle for supremacy in your mind. So you fight the one that you do not want, with the result, give it a power it does not possess. You fight failure to gain success. You fight disease to gain health. But the most astounding story that is run through the whole of this wonderful teaching is that the truth neither knows success, failure, seed, health or disease, good or evil. Much to your surprise, perhaps, that is an absolute truth. There is no relativeness at all in the truth. It itself is complete and perfectly whole in its expressing itself. Neither does it live in space or time. When you come into consideration of time and space, then you come into limitation. And I will try and develop this as I go along tonight to show you clearly and distinctly. We created the cause of the illusion of the mind. We measure time because the earth revolves on its own axis once every 24 hours, and we measure that in a day and a night. And the earth revolves round the sun in 365 days, and we measure that as 1 year. And we come to the end of a year and the beginning of another. We come to the end of a day and the beginning of another. But we will see continuously that this is going on continuously, and there is no time or space. There is a continual movement, always onward and upward, which is in itself perfection of the whole. Unfolding that which in itself is first in itself. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was with God, and that very Word was God, and that Word was made flesh. This Word now is being unfolded so that you can understand that which was in the beginning. Having no beginning, having no ending, mind you, I am. the beginning and the end. Therefore, there is no beginning, no ending of life. You cannot say that the infinite had a beginning, because if you say that the infinite had a beginning, you would have to say another infinite began that infinite. So you would go back and back as infinity until you reach the conclusion that you would have to admit the fact that there must have been something that always existed. Therefore, how then can you measure time and space? This baffles the mind that is not trained to think properly. But you students are trained to think properly. And it is this thinking that enables you to grasp the significance of the truth that gives you the power of the Christ or the power of the Master. Master saw that there was nothing to fight when he said, resist not evil, but overcome evil with good. This was showing that evil did not really exist except in man's own mind. When you bring a light into the darkness disappears. When your consciousness realizes its unity with the perfect one, so does all evil disappear. When you recognize complete unity, all separation disappears. Because separation does not exist as an actuality. It's only an idea in your mind. The truth you have is but an idea in your mind. And if you look at it, you will see what you are doing. You're creating an idea of the truth. But I don't want you to create an idea of the truth. Because when you create an idea of the truth, you make the truth relative. It becomes an idea that you created in your mind. Truth itself is not relative, but it is the very existence in you. I am the truth, the Master. So am I. I am the truth. When you bring a light into the darkness disappears. When your consciousness realizes its unity with the perfect one, so evil disappears. But if good and evil exist in your mind, you have a double mind where there is also faith and doubt side by side. For instance, if your mind has the image of disease and health, of success and failure, these two images will destroy your creative power and also your faith. These two images will destroy your creative power. The mental attitude you have always is you're only using a portion of your consciousness, a portion of your mind. All the time, the other force is busy trying to fight, hold back that which you do not want. Therefore, there is a continual conflict and turmoil going on in the mind. How then can you think that you can create under those circumstances? Look into your own mind and there discern for yourself what you are doing. You will see that you are doing exactly what I am saying. But if you then begin to know what you are doing, and you will see the fallacy of it, you will cease to do it. So you see, you destroy your creative power and also your faith. Then you bring the truth into mind, disease and failure disappear. Neither do you have to concentrate on health, success, or faith. Truth does not know health or disease. If you bring up the image of one, such as these, health, you always bring up the image of disease. If you bring up the image of success, you bring up the image of failure. You cannot get rid of the negative by trying to transpose onto the positive. The negative is always there because you're living in the relative world, not in truth. If you can see what I'm driving at, you will see immediately that you will know these two monsters for what they are. Therefore, you will discern them. And you'll understand that they are relative. Therefore, you will not fight one or desire the other. But when you know the truth, this is it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Seek ye the kingdom of God that is within you, and the right use of that kingdom, and everything shall be added unto you. Therefore, why fight the positive and the negative? Why allow this battle to go on in your mind continuously between the seed and health, faith and doubt, and also success and failure? These things are relative. The truth itself is the actual completeness of things living now, expressing itself in its wholeness, and wherever you are, there you will find the Spirit and God there too. You are never apart. Truth and you are never apart and can never be apart. Therefore, you will discern that in your own mind is the illusion of separation. The truth cannot be divided or destroyed. It is only in the mind of man that ignorance of this fact exists. And we find many in high places who are unaware of this all-important truth. We must recognize the mind as a single and simple unit, and that is just what it is. If we allow our mind to wander off to the idea of a part of the unit here and a part there, we pass into the relative, which is the cause of our loss of faith and the true direction of our thought. We immediately begin to react to the relative, which is limited, thereby limiting our faith, and our works is not produced. Your faith is not obtained by your stupid reactions to things or forms, but by an understanding of the intelligence behind all things and forms, and the operation of that intelligence. Neither is your faith obtained through the idea of time or space, but through a knowledge that spirit is one whole with no division in time or space. Spirit is omnipresent in its entirety. Therefore, at any moment of time, all spirit is concentrated at any point in space that we choose to fix our attention upon, that our time and space dissolves into nothing. When you recognize this and you realize the I as the center of yourself, and that surrounding that I, everything moves, then you dissolve that I again into the wholeness of things. And you will see that the I itself is not a separate entity, but an expression of that one whole. I, myself, becomes the self in everyone and everywhere. Therefore, if then that is so, which it must be, it is God who lives. Therefore, in my attitude of mind, it's the Father that doeth the work. Attention is a form of concentrated thought that is not subject to time or space, but is the process of forming what is not understood, then our attention is directed to that which breaks it up, and our work is not produced. When your attention is directed to that which breaks it up, your attention is no longer attention. The practice of attention is one of the finest things you can accomplish. It is easy for you to attend to something that you like, some job that you like to do. You can bestow your attention upon it. A hobby, for instance, or reading a novel or a book, where you can be engrossed completely and you're living the very lives of the author. Do you think that you could apply that attention to something you don't like? Something that you feel distasteful to do? If you can do that, then you have accomplished what I am trying to tell you. Power of attention to create, so that attention becomes immersed in wholeness. Time and space dissolves into nothingness. In that there is creation, in the whole. But only in the infinite mind is the true creation. The fact that we all exist in the absolute, and from the absolute all phenomena flow, whether in the mental or the physical plane, the knowledge of this is the basis upon which we develop our faith to produce works. That we can't produce anything out of the infinite in the absolute because there is no outside. And no matter whether we live in a physical body or when we live out of the physical body, you are you. Therefore, you are no different whether you are in the body or out of the body. You are still you. And when you recognize this, you will see that you are creating an infinite mind. But when you're in the physical body and you see things external to yourself, you create what we call a relative thing. Things that are relative to you when you look upon them instead of yourself, and you make God just the same. You make your God the relative God that is outside yourself. Think of it now. What use is a relative God, an idea of a God in your mind? An idea, a thought of God. What use is an idea of God, I'd like to know? Just ask yourself that question and see how far you are from realizing the truth of your oneness with the whole. What I want you to do is to discern your own mind in which much conflict exists. As to its function, some say that man has two minds. One is conscious and one is subconscious. But in reality, there is but one mind. We agree that there is an inner and outer function, but to say that they are separate and distinct is a fallacy. If to produce works can only be developed by a true understanding of the relation of each function. There are different flowers in the garden, and there are different colors on the flowers, but they still grow out of the same ground, and the same intelligence is working through them all. You can have a turnip growing beside a poppy, or you can have an onion growing beside a pansy. They are totally different. Their function is different, but they exist in the same land, they exist in the one, the same intelligence is manifesting through them. There is no difference in the expression, except that the function is different. note, the same applies to your mind. There is what you call the habit activity, which you create habit. You do a thing often enough, and you find that by doing it often enough, it becomes a habit, and you repeat it without any conscious effort whatsoever. You also have an instinctive principle which is working through you, which keeps your body in repair, running continuously. That is an intelligence, and that's also in the same mind. You've also eyes to see and a sense to hear, and you are living in the outside world by hearing sounds and seeing vibrations of light. You're living in the outside world, but who is living in the outside world, I'd like to know. Your eyes and your ears are means through which you are reacting to certain things. Then you create images in your mind in regard to these things. Who is creating the image, I'd like to know, of these things that you grasp through your mind, through your sense? You, of course, you are doing it, no one else, you. And you are the conscious entity. You are the conscious being. You are the conscious being that is living in the outside, living in the inside, living everywhere. You are the conscious being that is living in God. And you are the conscious being that is living outside in this relative world which you believe to be separate from God. Therefore you live in separation one moment, and you live in unity another moment. If we do not see then things as they really are, we are lost in these particular parts. When you delve into the subconscious and you begin to ramble around and you will say this and that, I haven't come to be so often. People have been to the various psychiatrists and they have delved in their mind, brought up every thought, the thought of something, and what happened? What result did we get? Just the same old routine. They're in the same way. They give them shock treatment, and then they have another shock treatment and so forth, and they go on doing the same thing. Now, what use is all this? But when they come and I show them the functions of their mind, these functions, which are properly separate and distinct, but they themselves are the only individual who's reacting to those things, and I point out the truth about things, then the mind, the consciousness becomes aware of its own stupidity. The habit, of course, is a habit of thinking. Habit is also a vicious circle. But you must break that vicious circle, and you've got to break it out so that the individual can begin to think clearly and not caught up in the quarrel of his own images or in the relative world which he fears. He tries to recede from and tries to run away from. Consequently, his total fear, his fear of everything is established, certainly free to move anywhere. A small fear of one thing may develop a fear for everything if you don't know the truth. Therefore, get rid of these fears to understanding. Both these functions are united by the consciousness, which is the creative faculty. Now listen carefully what I'm going to tell you. If the consciousness is caught up in the relative, the outer, it reacts to conditions and personal environment, which is very much limited. It takes into cognition time, space, and events, etc., and is influenced by them and reasons from this limited basis. That is the sum total of, we will say, 99.75% of mind's existence. In this way, the consciousness draws conclusions from supposed facts or effects which are seen on the surface. The real or cause being hidden, or when only a part is seen while the whole is not recognized, thus your consciousness is limited, circumscribed by your opinions or personal experiences, which prevents true understanding of the power of faith. You base your faith upon your experiences, your opinions. You base your faith upon events. You base your faith upon what you have accomplished in the past, whether it may be success or failure. Therefore, you see that you are basing all this upon an illusion, because it is relative in nature. Good God Almighty, when I think of it, how stupid it is. Here is the consciousness that in itself is complete, is the revelation, the reflection of the infinite consciousness expressing itself. The same faith that God created the world, so man creates on himself. In this way, fear, doubt, apprehension is caused by assuming the facts seen on the surface to be true, not knowing how they came about. Now that the consciousness has accepted these facts, a mental process is immediately set up to act upon these deductions and suggestions, however false they may be, and works out every suggestion in the minutest detail. So we see clearly what Job meant when he said, "What I feel came upon me." Well, if that's not plain, I don't know. The mind acts upon any suggestion, and if you accept that suggestion, the mind then begins to build up according to that suggestion in the minutest detail and begins to express it. Therefore I say, why should you suggest to anybody or anyone that this would befall them, that that would befall them, that you would be witched by this or be witched by that? Don't you see how stupid and ignorant these people are, and yet becoming good students too, that you know better? That's wrong. That I say is this, that every time we open our mouth to put our foot into it. If you can realize this truth that I am telling you now, you will see clearly and distinctly what I mean. Your consciousness is the ruling factor, whether it exists in the outer or the inner. If it exists in reality, then it will express itself according to reality. If it exists in the relative and is living in the relative, it will produce that which is in the relative, and nothing more. And the sooner you learn that, the better. To get you to realize these things, most important that you begin to really grasp this truth. Now we see that the inner as well as the outer is entirely under the control of the consciousness and works out to its final conclusion what the consciousness is aware of. Whatever the consciousness is aware of, whatever the consciousness impresses on the mind produces faithfully and logically with all the details accurately produced, whether the facts are true or not. Again, the Master's words come before me. When you pray, believe you have received, and you shall have. Why, the Master's words are clear as crystal. Every one, every sentence he has expressed is a benediction. Some important observations I have made have sustained my faith in what the prophets have said. One of these is that the body can be directed to complete restoration without any material aid when the consciousness is aware of the truth. This proves to me that the mind which supports the body is entirely impersonal. It can become the builder of the body as well as the destroyer, according to what the consciousness is aware of. Again, the Master's words come before me, let your eye be single. That is to say, no double thinking. Where is your mind? What is your mind? Most of you, your minds are a battleground, a battlefield, where these images are battling for supremacy. First thing you've got to do is to learn what you are doing, what your mind is doing, what is performing. If you discern then that your mind is a battleground for these opposing forces, you will know then that you do not know the truth. Where there is a battle going on like this, there is darkness. When you bring truth into darkness, the light into darkness, the darkness disappears. None of these images exist at all when the truth is there. Darkness is there for these two images, good and evil, success and failure, doubt and faith. These are always battling for one another. That is the darkness. These two images are in battle going on continuously. Yes, in majority of mine, 99.75%. If you can discern then what's happening in your mind, you'll know it's dark. Bring the truth into it, and becomes light. And all this darkness disappears, and you are free. Freedom of the truth, the truth that sets you free. The mind immediately proceeds to outpicture what the consciousness is aware of, whether it is health or ill health, whether it is one of misery or joy, success or failure. Thus, what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Deuteronomy, I have read these words, given by Moses to his followers. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life, that thou mayest live. Moses said that to his followers. As a matter of fact, and the same thing applies to you now. The same, exactly the same. If Moses said it to the Israelites, the tribes of Israel, therefore I say the same thing to you. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before thee life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose life that you may live. This passage describes the work that what man has to do is to choose that which he will have. The Master clearly makes the great statement of truth for our benefit. The Father and I are one. Now, can you see any fight going on in that mind? But he said, resist not evil. There is nothing to fight. I, the Father, are one. Can you then understand in your own mind when you say those words, do you realize what the Master meant when he said them? Can you realize he's complete understanding of them when he says them. I can see there is nothing but God. I am the Father of one. The Father does the work. There is no failure, there is no success. There is no health, there is no ill health. There is just truth. That is God. This becomes the greatest and most powerful affirmation of truth that there is. This is the truth that will set you free from the consciousness realized. The habit which most of you have established is to allow the consciousness to be influenced by that which appears on the outer, with the result that all your ideas are reduced to the effects of past experiences, not knowing that all is possible to him that believeth. I know how difficult it is to get out of the habit of talking stupid nonsense. I know how difficult it is for the consciousness itself, which is immersed in the inner reality and is got the habit of always acting on the reality and from the reality. How difficult it is to expect it. It can only be done by discerning what you're doing. It can't be discerned by means of psychology or any mythology or any other ology. It can only be done by discerning what you are doing and nothing else. When the truth is established in the consciousness through understanding and logical reasoning, there is concentration upon the eternal life that is ever renewing and rejuvenating the mind and body. The mind will act upon this with complete independence of any influence of any sort, except what your consciousness imposes upon it. Paul tells us, in other words, to renew the mind day by the power of the Spirit. When the consciousness becomes aware of itself, aware, I can tell you what awareness is, you're going to find it out for yourself. I know to me what awareness means to me. I become aware. I become alive and living. I am aware that I am, not by myself alone, but I am everything. My thought moves out from me. I create. I look. And with the power of the look, it is not a force that has it, because I am aware. Aware. It is this that I want you to realize. It isn't an idea of awareness, or an idea of God, an idea of the truth, an image of the truth. Because if you think it is that, you haven't got it. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the life. When the Master said these words, I know what it is. It is just that which you have to grasp also and make it your own. This is the way your faith will produce for you. So your faith will be justified by your works. And when you fully grasp this truth, it will be easy to externalize healthy conditions in the body and circumstances. It will be just as easy to have life as death. it is for you to choose which you will have. That which is of the highest importance to you all is that you discern your thoughts and where they are moving. Habit is strong, and it will take you some time before you can dissolve your own habitual way of thinking and living. This is up to you. I cannot do it for you. I can only point to where you should go. If I could do it for you, it would have no value to you because you would not have it. You would be like the boy who went to school, and all the time he had his sums written down, and he had the answers underneath, hidden underneath, and he pulled the book out and he wrote down the answer to every question. Of course, the master came around, clever boy, clever boy. But did the boy know anything about how, about the laws, the fundamentals of arithmetic? Could he do the sum? No, he could not. If I could do this for you, to give you the answer, your awareness, you would be like that boy. Exactly. But when you give it by yourself, it is your own. And your truth is your truth, not mine, it's yours. But in it, there is completeness. Right. You will see that what I have been trying to impress upon you is of vital importance, that you realize your oneness with the ever-present intelligent spirit that prevails throughout the whole universe. Choose wisdom rather than fine gold, and knowledge than real silver. Realize the cosmic wholeness as yourself. This is the light that will dispel the darkness, the truth that will dispel evil. One exists as a reality now. The other does not exist except in your own consciousness when ignorant of the truth. In this life is the lust of men. Amid the darkness the light shone, but the darkness did not master. This is how your faith produces work, and how your faith is sustained by work, and your works will prove your faith. Benediction. O blessed Creator of heaven and earth, let thy consciousness may be revealed to me as mine. Open my inner eyes that I may behold thee behind the myriads of atoms coming into form. Thus open my consciousness that I may see behind the illusion of time and space. That in thee I dwell, and that I realize that thou hast made me in thy light. Clear my consciousness of the illusion of fear and doubt, that my eye may be single. Let the waves of thy mighty creative power and faith dance upon the ocean of my dreams, that I may become like thee, to justify my faith by my work. For it is thee alone who worketh in me, O beloved friend and protector.